legendary basketball coach. It is Throwback Day on a Thursday, presented by Brian Harden Construction here in West Alabama. Brian Harden Construction, the industrial contractors, the fabrication. Remember, you can call them 205-752-9611. Throwback Thursday. And with that being said, we throw it a little bit back to one of the greatest eras in Alabama basketball history. Coach Wimp Sanderson joins us here inside the game. Coach, I hope you're doing well. Welcome back to T-Town via the airways.
Well, thank you. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, Coach, let's get an update. What are you up to these days? I'm sure you're finding a lot of 18 holes of golf course, but what are you up to these days? Give us a report.
I'd like to. Of course, the weather's been bad, and I've gone through a back operation, which is sort of curtailed anything that I really would like to do right now. So hopefully I'll get back to it soon when I get to F1 this weather. But I look forward to doing that. I've done a little bit of television. I do a little bit of radio, and I'm going to do the state tournament this year, the finals for the boys, 6A, 5A, and 3A. So I do various basketball things, but not too much.
Absolutely.
Watch my grandson play.
and I'm sure, if the back continues to heal, I know you're a big fisherman as well.
Well, I used to. I haven't fished as much, but, I just try to do some basketball stuff. I got a grandson that plays there at ACA, so I enjoy watching him play. And, basketball and in tournament time for high schools is coming up. And, of course, the SEC is fixing to start their basketball tournament in 2-3 weeks. So a lot of tournament play, a lot of NCAA play. I'll probably go to Dallas to the Final Four and do some things like that.
Coach, I know that it's a little bit different, obviously, from the basketball standpoint, but you were known as an excellent recruiter, not just as a head coach, but as an assistant coach. National Signing Day was yesterday, and we've got a sort of recruiting state of mind. Did you enjoy recruiting as a coach?
Well, it was hard. It was difficult. We were in a situation when we first started. I was at Alabama when we first started taking minorities in 1968, I guess it was. And, I worked for two other coaches. I worked 20 years as an assistant. So during those 20 years, I did, do a lot of the recruiting for both of those coaches as well as myself, but I had good assistants that did a lot of it for me. But, I enjoyed it to some extent. It was nerve wracking. We were in situations where we had to try to get players in the state to come to our school for the first time. Of course, people went in and tried to use football against us. Coach Bryant was good to help us some, calling kids from time to time. And so we overcame that, and we were able to get, at that time, some good basketball players in the state. We had, almost had one or two a year that were very, very good. And we were able to, once we got started, and my first year, the two best players in the state with Bobby Lee Hurt, Enos Watley, and had I not gotten those and gotten off to a good start, I might have been it'd been more difficult to have gotten those players as the years went along. But we were fortunate enough to get Bobby Lee and Enos didn't stay for 2 years. But to answer your question, I enjoyed it, but it was very, very nerve wracking. And in basketball, you can't make mistakes. Sometimes in football, a little bit, you can overcome it with numbers. Back years ago when I was at Alabama, they had 55 football scholarships. Now they have 25. We started off with, a lot of basketball scholarships. Like, when we had freshman teams, we actually had 25. We reduced down to, 18 or something. But we could make a few mistakes ourselves. But you can't make many mistakes now. If you do, you're in trouble, because I think basketball doesn't get enough scholarships at 13.
Coach Wim Sanderson, right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. You were also known as a great promoter. You took basketball to the street and sort of promoted the sport that no doubt you loved.
Well, I don't know. That the plaid thing sort of got started by accident, and it was fine. The only reason that it was effective was because that we had some good players, And, you know, good players mean you have a chance to have a good team. You don't always have one, but you have a chance to have one. So I don't know whether, you know, the play maybe was good and bad. I'm not sure. Probably more good than it was bad. I think the main thing was that we need to put the attention on the players, not on me. It sort of worked around where it was, you know, on both of us, sort of. And people coach their own personalities, and I think that's the way to coach. I tried to coach my personality, and other coaches coach their personality, and I think that's what you have to do. So, you couldn't find a whole lot of people when I got the job in 1980 that were very excited about me getting it, because they felt like that they wanted somebody with a big name. And, you know, it turned out, and we got a little bit better, and we got better players, and we started winning games, and going to the Final 16, we went to Final 16 six times. Things got better for us, and the attendance got very good.
Well, he's the only Alabama coach to ever reach 200 games in his first 10 years, and he was the SEC Coach of the Year in 1987, 1989, 1990. He was the National Coach of the Year in 1987. He mentioned the Sweet 16 10 times. He played in only one NIT in 10 NCAA tournament, making the Sweet 16. But your years and your affiliation with the University of Alabama goes back to many, many years. I believe it's 32 years that you were affiliated with the University of Alabama as an assistant coach. Going back, you made a comment just a couple of minutes ago that Plaid was an accident. Will you elaborate on that?
Well, I think I didn't really start out wearing Plaid sport coats. I looked at some film, not film, but I looked at some pictures not long ago that when I first started. I don't know. I wore it, a Plaid sport coat once, and they wrote about it, and then I wore it again, and they, for whatever reason, not on purpose, and they wrote about it, and our teams were pretty good, and it sort of caught on, and people sort of took to it and started, you know, kind of wearing some Plaid themselves, and the cheerleaders and the band and the ushers and so forth were wearing it. But, I want to make it clear that the players, had we had the Plaid and not had good players, then it wouldn't be very good. Because we had good players and because they were able to play, you know, the way we wanted them to play as much as we could, I was tough on them or not. They said I was. Maybe I was. Maybe I wasn't. But, I think the success that our players had along with the theme of the play had probably tied in together. And it needed to be more about the players than it did about me.
Well, and I know that all coaches want to downplay what they've been able to accomplish and look back at the players, and no doubt the players make up a big part of that. But
yeah, they do.
Coach Wim Sanderson right now inside the game. You said back in the early 80s when you went on an amazing run, and I was looking at it, 24-7 your second year here, 20-12, and the Sweet 16 in your second year, first round. The success, the credentials speak for itself. But did that did you use that as motivation? Because you talked about it a couple of minutes ago that folks didn't really want you to get the job, or at least there were some naysayers. Did that motivate you at all, Coach?
Oh, yeah. Sure it did. Yeah, I had been there 20 years, and I had hoped to get the job, and I was fortunate to get the job. And there were a lot of people who felt like that, you know, that they needed somebody to come in that had, you know, had been successful as a head coach, or had been in what they wanted to call a basketball school. I guess our team had been very good up until 1980. We had very good basketball teams, when I was assistant coach, we had good teams. And you know, my job was to try to keep it good. You know, a lot of times when you take a basketball job, you take one because the coach prior to you had bad seasons, and that wasn't particularly the case. We had good years when I was assistant coach, but with a second coach, and then you know, we continued to have good seasons. And I think the big thing is we went through a period of time in the state where there were some good players in the state. It wasn't that easy to get them. We had to fight like a difference to go to Fayette and get Mike Davis, for example. He used to be the UAB coach. I've already mentioned Watley and Hurt. We were able to go over to Mississippi and get a few players that were good. So, you know, we worked hard in the recruiting. We didn't get them all, but we got a lot of them, and there were a lot of good ones to get. So that's where our success was. Did we coach them well? Some people thought we did. I guess some people thought we didn't. But I felt like that we got the most out of what we, you know, what we had. And I was, I think the one thing that you can't do when you go in as a coach is you can't go in trying to make everybody happy and please everybody. And my intent was to go in and do whatever I needed to do to get our basketball program to stay good and continue to be good. And you could fall on wherever you want to fall. My job was not to fight football, or I was a football guy. I wasn't trying to do any of that. I was trying to be a good basketball coach. And I went to all the football games. Coach Bryant took me to Florida once. Coach Perkins took me to New York when they played Ohio State, I believe it was. So, you know, my job was to do as good a job as I could. I think football has to, you know, has to drive the bus because of the money, no doubt about that. But there were, you know, maybe one or two people there towards the end of my career who felt like basketball was maybe was getting too good. And so, whatever.
Coach Wimp Sanderson, right now inside the game, as I look back, and I'm sure you've got plenty of them, but from your perspective, many times when we have former Alabama football players sort of share a little bit of a story with Coach Bryant, your friendship with him goes back a number of years. You talked about the influence that he was able to make. Can you share a story with us about Coach Bryant?
Well, Coach Bryant was great. You know, I visited with Miss Bryant a great deal after Coach Bryant passed away. And, you know, one of the ironic things I've told 10,000 times was that the week that we were to play UCLA, who was very, very good and won the country, on Saturday night, Coach Bryant passed away on Wednesday. And I had seen him. He had, for whatever reason, had been coming down the hall on that Sunday. And I was out in the hall getting a drink of water, and he kept coming, came down to the office, sit down and talk, something that he'd never done, had never done before. And so we visited on that Sunday afternoon, and he got sick on, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and he passed away on Wednesday, and we played UCLA on Saturday. And I've told that story 1,000 times, and the people listening to your show have probably heard it 100 times, but that's, I think, a sort of a unique situation. And we went out, not that we wore black armbands. First of all, I didn't intend to play the game unless Paul Jr. had okayed it. And he said, you know, Papa would have wanted you to play. And so we put black armbands on and played. We won the game by 2 points. And, you know, terrific win. And, of course, when Coach Bryant was buried, they didn't take him straight from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham. They took him through a lot of the small towns, through Centerville and different players. People got to see, you know, the proceedings there because he was, you know, a personable guy, and everybody looked up to him, and so forth. So, I think that was a kind of a unique week because of his passing, and because of us having to have play a game on CBS that Saturday. So, you know, that's something that most people. I've written a book, Plaid Parquet, and it's in that book, and I've told that story several times, so it's probably boring to your listeners.
Well, it's not boring to us, Coach, because anytime that you can share stories about the tradition of Alabama football and Alabama basketball, what you've been able to accomplish is very unique. Coach, I want to go back and elaborate on a couple of points before we let you go. Right now, Coach Wimp Sanderson inside the game here, presented by Brian Harden Construction on a Throwback Thursday. Coach, as I look at the SEC, obviously we're great in football, but our basketball has been a little bit down. Do you put your finger on the pulse of why that is?
Well, I struggled a little bit this year. I think the people that sometimes don't realize this, in the last 8 years, the SEC has won the national championship in basketball 3 times. You ask the average fan who listens to your show, he wouldn't even remember that or know that. Florida's won it twice, Kentucky's won it once. So, you know, it hadn't been a shutout for the SEC. Probably basketball is not quite as good and struggles some. I mean, you're probably going to find this season a lot of 9-9 records. You have 18 games, 10-8 records, 8-10 records, those kinds of things. Nobody has been able to break away from the 14 members of the league except Florida and Kentucky. Nobody is good enough to break away and to be the. That's the reason that the basketball tournament in Atlanta is going to be so big, because if somebody else wins that besides Kentucky or Florida, it will put a third team from the NCAA in the NCAA, which is good. So nobody's been, and the reason they haven't been able to break away, if you want the honest truth, is probably the players in the league of those 12 teams are not as good as the players that we had. LSU was in the Final Four. Georgia with Hugh Durham was in the Final Four. Sonny Smith at Auburn went to 5 straight NCAA tournaments. We were pretty fortunate. And so, you know, the players then probably were a little bit better in the 80s and early 90s and even in the mid-90s than they are right now. And there was a little bit more depth, I think. They had a little bit. We had a little bit more depth. Although I didn't play with 8 people. A lot of people played 10 and 12. A lot of them, I didn't. I played, you know, about 8 is all I ever played every year. So I think the answer to your question probably is the number of good players that each team has.
Coach, what do you think are fair expectations for Alabama and Auburn in basketball?
Well, you know, to do as they possibly can, to do as good a job as they can with their staff, to try to get the best players in the state. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Recruiting is a very difficult science, very hard. And if things go a little bit bad for you, it makes it more difficult. And there are some years that the state of Alabama will offer some good basketball players. Number-wise, they won't. A player in the state of Alabama is as good as a player at Indiana or at Kentucky. The numbers just won't be there. There won't be as many of them. And so that's the difference. So, you know, the expectations for Auburn and Alabama is to try to decide what players they think fit their needs the best and, are good enough to play in their program and hopefully play as well as they can. The criteria, of course, for the fans and for people is to take your team to the NCAA tournament. Naturally, you work very hard to do that. Some years you can do it, some years you don't. So it's according to what the other. And I'll tell you something else that's different now. We played an 18-game round-robin schedule when I was coaching, and that means that you play both every team in the league twice. And so this day and time, they're playing 18 games, but they're not playing against the same teams. And if you're lucky with the schedule, you think Alabama was pretty fortunate in football? They played 2 teams out of the East, but they didn't play South Carolina and Georgia. You know, they played Tennessee and Kentucky. So my point is that's great for them. My point in trying to say that, not in football, because they're great, but is that sometimes, the schedule falls a little bit better for you some years than it does other years. You cannot play everybody in the league. A 14 league team in basketball, where you don't have divisions, and that probably is the best thing not to have division, you know, is impossible to get the scheduling where you can play everybody. You have to be, right now, I would imagine that the SEC will argue about whether to go to 9 teams in football, 9 games, excuse me, in football, SEC games, because, you know, they can't play everybody where they like to. So, when you go to a bigger league, you have schedule problems, and I think that's something maybe the average fan doesn't realize.
Coach, I just looked up at the clock, and I know I'm way late, but let me ask one more question before you get out of here, because you kind of caught us up with a lot of conversation pieces here. A lot of folks depend on your expertise. Can you put your finger on exactly what's going wrong in Tuscaloosa, and how do you, how should we as media fans support Anthony Grant?
Well, I think you have to support. I think you have to support him in the tough times as well as the good times. And the one thing I don't ever try to do is get on any outlet and try to coach somebody else's team. I had a hard enough time coaching mine. So, it's not my stead to get on. I'm happy to be on your show, but I'm not on anybody's show to try to tell Coach Grant, who's the basketball coach, you know, how to coach his team. They have it. They have struggled a little bit with an inside game, and I think it's been one of their problems. I think, of course, Anthony would tell you that. And if you're not as talented inside, or if you're not playing as well inside, it has a great deal to do with how you play outside. You know, in order to get good shots outside, you need to try to take it inside, and they've struggled some there. But I think Anthony Grant's a good basketball coach. I know it's a tough year for them, and I know there's always going to be criticism, regardless. If you win 20, you should have won 21. If you do this, you should have done that. So, I'm not on here to coach his team. I think people need to support him and stay behind him, and maybe things will turn back in the right direction.
Absolutely. Coach Wim Sanderson right now inside the game. Coach, no doubt we respect you for what you were able to accomplish and your continued the success, and we wish you nothing but the best. Coach, thank you so much
thank
for helping
you.
Us out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Absolutely. Coach Wim Sanderson here inside the game in Tuscaloosa. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation of talking with Coach Wim Sanderson. We will talk with Elijah Hall coming up in just a couple of minutes, but presented by Brian Harden Construction, 205-752-9611, 205-752-9611. Industrial Contractors and Fabrication, Brian Harden Construction presents Throwback Thursday.